This episode is brought to you by Boncharge. Are you stressed out? Do your muscles ache? Are you looking for a way to get better sleep? Well then, Boncharge is for you. What's Boncharge? Boncharge is a company that makes an infrared sleeping bag that is serving as a sauna. I'll say that again. It's an infrared sleeping bag that actually acts as an in-home sauna. You plug it in, it heats up, you lay down inside of it, you do absolutely nothing, you get a sick sweat session in, you calm down, you decompress, life is easy. You get out, you dry off, you unplug it, you dry your infrared, your little sleeping bag off, you put it away, and you're done. If you want to get the benefits of this all in your house without having to go to a spa, without having to go to a resort, or go to some nasty, disgusting gym and get into their sauna that you don't even know how well they're cleaning it, just go. I'm gonna just not even going to give you a website. Just Google Boncharge. That's Boncharge. That's Boncharge. And if you put in the code Mahoney, Mahoney, that's Mahoney, you will get 15% savings. If you can't remember any of this, don't worry. It'll be in the show notes. Just click on the link right in the show notes. All right, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye. This episode is brought to you by Zero Shoes, a company that is perfectly named. Why? Because when you're wearing their shoes, you feel like you're walking around completely and totally barefoot, a.k.a. like you're not wearing any shoes, a.k.a. like you are wearing zero shoes. Now, we've all heard the benefits of barefoot training, but who wants to walk into a gym without any shoes on your feet? First of all, it's gross, and second of all, it's disgusting. Now, the other benefits of zero shoes is not only are they functional, but they're also fashionable. So, you've seen many a time people walk in the gym with these minimalist shoes and they look like a freak, not with zero shoes. You're going to blend right in. Also, they have a wide toe box so that your toes are not all scrunched together in the front like they normally are with any standard training sneaker or cleat. Now, to get your shoes, go to zeroshoes.com/go/MahoneyAT. Again, that's zeroshoes.com/go/MahoneyAT. And that zero is spelt with an X. It is X-E-R-O. Again, I'll say it again. It's X-E-R-O. Get your zero shoes today. Welcome to another episode of 6 Minute Monday, where I give you 6 tips and tricks to make you more efficient and effective in the weight room, the boardroom, and on a football field. And I'll give a recap of what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. Maybe it wasn't even a Tag Team Challenge. Maybe it was the greatest social experiment ever in the history, if not the world, maybe just in the small section of Staten Island, but it was the greatest social experiment I've seen in quite a long time. So here we go. Tip number one, it is an exercise tip. When you are on the descent portion, the eccentric portion, a.k.a. as the bar or the dumbbell is moving down towards your chest, I want you to pump your chest, like actually almost like flex it as the weight is coming down. I'm not really legitimately telling you to flex it, but I want you to drive your chest up as the weight is going down. Again, drive your chest up as the weight is going down. That is going to help you propel that weight back up off your chest. Okay, tip number two. Tip number two, it is, again, another exercise tip. I want to say it's something I'm experimenting with, but I experimented with it and I failed, so I'm giving you the end result. Do not use your Boncharge sauna right before a sprint session. So if you don't know what a Boncharge sauna is, it is a blanket. It's like a sleeping bag. It is a portable sauna. You hop inside this thing. You get a great sweat session in. So what I've been experimenting with is if I wake up a little early, rather than scroll through Instagram, what I do is I get the sauna ready and I do a quick sauna session early in the morning before I start my day. But it is not a good practice to do that, at least for me, right before you're going to get into a sprint session. For what I saw and what I felt was that my body felt, it felt nice, it felt relaxed, it felt all rubbery, but that's not the way I wanted to feel going into that sprint session. I wanted to feel springy. I wanted my body to explode, and I felt my muscles were a little too relaxed for that, and I did notice that I was about a tenth of a second slower that day than I was 2 days right before that, and I have to attribute it to the doing the sauna right before a sprint session. Okay, tip number three. It's another exercise tip. Yes, there are many exercise tips today, and maybe this is a recovery tip, but I said this before, and I'll say this again because it's critically important. If you feel tweaked up, you feel banged up, for me, I'll give you exactly my exact scenario. Last week, I 100% spent too much time on my phone. It was actually not for Instagram. I wasn't scrolling mindlessly. I was actually doing a lot of business, a lot of communicating on my phone, and I spent too much time on it. My head was down, and it actually ended up hurting my neck and my shoulder. So here's the tip. If something like your neck or your shoulder hurts, that's actually a symptom of the actual problem. So yes, you can Theragun or massage or foam roll those areas. It'll temporarily relieve the pain. But with any injury, and we can have Dr. Rob verify this, he is the expert here, but I like to go above and below the area where that injury occurred. So for example, or I shouldn't call it injury, maybe tweaking, maybe straining, I don't know what it is. So for example, if your knee hurts, knee's aching a little bit, maybe you want to take care of the calf and the shin and the hamstring and the quad. Again, it's above and below the joint. Now for me, because of that pain, I knew if I just foam roll my shoulder, I just Theragun my neck, it's going to make it go away a little bit, but it's not going to make it go fast enough. So other things that I did is I went above and below the area. So I went underneath where my tricep is. I went underneath kind of like where the inside of my bicep was with the Theragun. I also, because my head was leaning down too far, I actually did a movement that Dr. Rob taught me where I put my fingers on my chin. I push my chin. I'm doing it right now as I'm talking. I push my chin back when my head is up, and I make a double chin. The other thing I did was I took my arms out, both of them right in front of me, with my arms out straight, my thumbs pointed to the sky, and I retracted my shoulder blades. I've been doing that like, I don't know, 50 reps, 4 or 5 times a day, just to get that kink out, just to get that stuff out. So yes, again, I could foam roll my shoulder, I could foam roll my neck, I could foam roll my upper back, but those other areas, I believe that's what stretched out, and that's where the pain was coming from, because I was looking down so much at my phone. The other thing that I would say is that thing that was targeting my neck pain, when I Theragunned my lat, when I Theragunned my lower lat and the middle of my lat, that's when I felt the greatest release of that tension. So again, above and below that spot. Now, one of our guys, I won't say his name, he tweaked his back a little bit at training. He's had issues with his back. So again, the answer is not to just foam roll the spot on your back that hurts. Let's say it's your lower back. The answer may be take care of the upper lat, the middle lat that's above the pain, and then below, go to the glute. And the other tip here is that if something hurts, and I kind of alluded to it before, do the opposite motion of the thing that possibly gave you that tweak. So for example, with me, looking down at my phone was one motion where my chin was basically touching my chest. Well, the opposite motion is pushing my chin back and making a double chin. For this guy that tweaked his lower back, sorry, I just dropped my phone here. This guy that tweaked his lower back by picking something up off the ground, well, the opposite motion may be a glute bridge. So work that other thing that to activate that other muscle, that antagonist muscle, so that you can relieve tension on the thing that is strained or sore. That was a pretty damn good tip, by the way. Okay, tip number four, something that I am listening to that's moved me. I'm re-listening to a podcast that Tim Ferriss had with Malcolm Gladwell. Now, this guy is one of the greatest storytellers ever, but this has nothing to do with storytelling. For some reason, they get into this conversation about running. With his own training in particular, yeah, he's studied runners, he's studied elite sprinters, but he was saying, and I find this absolutely remarkable and true, he said running is about restraint and good enough. I'll say that part again. It said running is about restraint and good enough. What the hell does that mean? What it means is, and he said, I'll actually say the next part of his sentence, said there's a fine line between preparation and overtraining and injury. And the more I sprint, the more I can relate to this. Guys in the gym, this is a hard conversation because people always want to load more weight on the bar and it's like almost impossible. But people who sprint, you get it. You know that if you run too hard, if you push it a little bit too much, you are going to blow your hamstring out if you are fast enough to do that. You know it. You overstretch. While you're overstretched, you got that tension in your hamstring, and bang, you pop that hamstring, right? When I say overstretch, I mean overstride. So I'll be honest. Since I did hurt my leg about a year and a half ago, I have never fully let it go. I run just fast enough to the point that I'm not running as fast as I possibly can. And the more I sprint, the more I realize how important that is. And now the mindset I get when I leave every sprinting session is, my number one goal is to leave here healthy. My number two goal is to get faster. But the number one goal is to not let today ruin tomorrow. I'm going to leave here healthy. And we've been using the sensors, and sometimes they're on and sometimes they're off. But I'm letting that help me gauge when it's time to shut things down. I'm also not trying to hit a world record every single sprint. I'm just trying to have one good rep. Like, I'm looking for one rep in that training session that's better than the week before, or as good, or just something that I can hang my hat on. So it doesn't have to be 100 good reps. I need one good rep. And when I get that one good rep, that's great. I've tapped my central nervous system. I've hit that speed, and now I can shut it down for the day. So again, he said, running is about restraint and good enough, and there's a fine line between preparation and overtraining and injury. Damn, Malcolm Gladwell, you might be the last person I thought to say that, but it's brilliant. It's brilliant, and for the meatheads out there, take note of that, because you're not good. You can't function if you're injured. Okay, tip number five. Tip number five, a productivity tip, something we've been talking about in our mastermind groups. We've been talking about this thing called the people pile. The people pile is this pile of people that you're surrounded by. Maybe it's a world where there's just all these people and you're stuck right in the middle of that people pile. Well, the productivity tip is you will never make a difference in the people pile. I'll say that again. You'll never make a difference in the people pile. So if you're just average, or if you're in this group of people, don't expect to make a difference. And the fact that you're even listening to this podcast gives you a fighting chance to give you the will to get out of that people pile. Okay, tip number six. Tip number six, the craziest thing that happened all week. This might have happened 2 weeks ago, but it's a combination of this week and last week and maybe the week before that. We finished a sprint session. I am stretching in front of Joe Marechko. And the whole time, I just felt like, I don't know why, I felt like I was running out of my shoes. And my times were really not that good. I felt like I was falling out of my shoes. I thought it was because I had different socks on. As I'm stretching, Marechko says, Coach, you need new shoes. I'm like, what are you talking about? I look down, and legitimately, the bottom of my zero shoe, it's falling off. I didn't realize it. I didn't feel it. It just fell off. And I was like, this is pretty sick. I ran myself out of these shoes. Now, these weren't brand new shoes. I've been doing everything in them, like all types of training, sprinting, tough man stuff, everything I could do, I've been doing in these shoes. They were beat up. They were beat up all to hell. I legitimately wore these things out. I bore them into the ground. Now, when you're wearing zero shoes, you don't realize that the sole is being worn out because they're a zero shoe. There's basically nothing going on there. So he said that. I decide to do a quick look to get new sneakers. I get new sneakers, all white zero shoes. They actually look, at least in my mind, pretty good. I show them to Mrs. Mahody, and she said, finally, yeah, wait for it, finally, you don't look like a homeless person. So I guess that was her way of saying that these were pretty nice, but I have been getting quite a few compliments on them from the guys at Advanced Training saying they do like the all white zero shoes. I may buy a second pair to be I don't know, more social in, but these are right now. Again, I'm wearing these things to the ground too, but they are all white zero shoes. I believe they're called the XS's. I got to double check that, but they are absolutely, positively the best looking zero shoe sneakers that I have. So thank you, Mrs. Mahoney, for the compliment. I think even Jimmy Uski, it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't talk about Jimmy Uski. He said, I think I can get behind those. All right, I'm going to give you not a tip, but it's, I want just promoing something here. I'm promoing something relating back to point number five. On June 15th, mark it on your calendars. I'm going to give you plenty of notice. On June 15th, I'm going to be speaking about leadership at FC Chaos. It is where Dr. Rob works. I know Joe Sarno of Headstrong. He's run some events there. Friends of Advanced Training, Andrew Armato, is a part owner of this place. So he's got a whole bunch of good guys around him there. The guy Sal, who runs the place, I met him a few times. Great guy. So June 15th, 1 o'clock, that's on 10 Brick Court in Staten Island, New York. I'm going to be speaking about leadership. I'll be talking in depth about what's your purpose, about what leadership is, how to get yourself out of the people pile. So June 15th, if you can make it there, I'd appreciate it. Love to have some friends in the room. Love to have the room filled with people that I know. So again, June 15th, 1 o'clock, FC Chaos, 10 Brick Court, Staten Island, New York. Now, we've covered that part of the podcast. We're going to move on to part two, what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge, or again, as what I may call the greatest social experiment ever. So, what was the challenge? Well, this was inspired by Joe Derardita. It wasn't exactly the challenge that he wanted. What Joe Derardita wanted, he wanted a prowler on one end of the field, and the other team, not his team, the other team 100 yards away. And then someone from his team would push that prowler 100 yards. They would turn that prowler back around, and then someone from the other team would push it 100 yards. If anyone ever stopped pushing the prowler, they were out. And I thought it was a great idea, except I was very concerned with, given all the controversy at Advanced Training, how I would accurately be able to say if someone stopped pushing the prowler, if even for a second or a half a second. I just thought it was going to cause a lot of chaos. But I did like the idea, and I liked that it linked back to the game I used to play in grammar school called Red Rover. And I talked about it on the last podcast. I talk about it again. In Red Rover, you interlocked your arms with your team. You called somebody over. Red Rover, Red Rover. We called Torres right over. And then Torres would come running as fast as he could and try to break through your arms. If he broke through, he lives to fight another day. But if he doesn't break through, now he's part of your team, and you go until there's nobody left on one team. Okay, so that was the Red Rover game, and that was what inspired what I came up with based on the inspiration from Joe Derradita. So what I thought was, what is a much easier way to quantify winning or losing? Oh, it's the farmer's walk, because once you drop the farmer's walk, you're done. So that's what we did. We had one team line up on one sideline. We had another team line up on the other sideline. I put 120 pounds on the barbell, and we basically played the Red Rover game. But as advanced training fate would have it, advanced training luck would have it, Joe Derradita makes this challenge, and his team only has two guys show up, him and Joe Shalacy. And the dudes, who have named themselves the dudes, because they said that we don't need a lot of guys, we just need some dudes to show up. The dudes show up with seven dudes. They have seven guys. Joe Derradita's team has two. So there's legitimately no way, there's no possible way that the Golden Company can win. They can't win. They cannot win. On paper, they cannot win. Fred Carpentieri said before the event, if there was a line on this, it would be like negative a million or 10 million because they cannot win. So also, to make matters worse, the dudes already have the belt. So they get to pick who goes first, and they pick the Golden Company to go first. So I'm not even going to get into the gory details of the challenge. I'm going to get into the greatest social experiment ever. Because if you're thinking about a strategy, there are certain ways to make this competitive. So what were the rules of engagement? You get to call whoever you want from the other team over to carry this thing over. And you get to say what hand they're going to do. The only thing you can't do is call the same person two times in a row. But if you're even halfway astute, if you're halfway into strategy, you realize the best way to do this is to keep picking the same people over and over with the same hand and wearing them out. Now, for the dudes, this was easy because there was only two guys in the Golden Company, so they either picked Derradita or Shalacy every single time. And the only way they could really mess this up was by telling them to use different hands, which they didn't do. So this was part of the strategy of picking the same guys every other time and making them get exhausted. But for some reason, the Golden Company, even though they had no shot of winning, they were not doing that. They were calling people like one guy, then another guy, then another guy, then another guy. They were actually going through, I believe, a four-person rotation. A four-person rotation of Yuski, Wallen, Cortese, Galley. I think at a certain point, they kind of left Cortese out of it, and then they were smartly leaving out certain guys, like I think Carpentieri, Sarno, Carroll. They left them out of it completely. Now again, they had no shot of winning. So to me, I was more or less interested in what the strategy was going to be to at least make this respectable and close. I'll say some things, and then I'll say some more things. The things I'll say is that to tell you the end of the story, Derradita and Shalacy, they lose. Shocker, they lose. But what they did do is they put up a hell of a fight physically. These guys must have went five or six times across the entirety of the field. And once again, people stopped to watch what we were doing, which I think is, you know, it's a good workout when people stop to watch what we're doing. In fact, there was a guy who was playing soccer that came over and said, I need to be part of this. Gave him my phone number. I hope he joins up. But he was so inspired by what he saw. He's like, I want to do this more than I want to play soccer. By the way, quick side note to the soccer guys. I respect this crew of guys who play soccer despite them. We're like, I shouldn't say fighting over the same part of the field, but yesterday they waited until we were done to move their goal back where they wanted it so that we could finish our training session. I respect that. Men, I respect you for that, and I'm giving you a thank you here over the year. All right, back to where I was at. So Shalacy and Derradita physically did an unbelievable job, and they had to go one after the other with just their left hand. Now let's get down to strategy. So we talked about them not picking the same people over and over again and giving a break. When I questioned them on it afterwards, I said, we weren't going to win anyway. But Derradita also did say, my goal was to at least wipe out half of those people. But they ended up doing it. They ended up wiping out Wallen. They ended up wiping out Yuski. I think they wiped out Cortese. I think they did. They still lost, but they wiped out three of those guys on that team. But I think they could have wiped out more, especially as strong as Derradita and Cortese were going. Derradita and Shalacy were going, except they gave those other guys too much of a break. Would they have won? No, they would not have won. They would not have won the game. Now, I'm going to link this back to when I was a head football coach. we were playing, you know, you're playing a team that you're not going to beat. You're not going to beat them. But can you make the game respectable? Yes. Or could you put yourself in a spot where there's a chance? Yes. So one of the techniques that we would use is to legitimately run a play every 40 seconds. Because now you're keeping the other team's offense off the field. You're making them frustrated. You're getting their momentum down, right? They don't have enough repetitions. You run a play every 40 seconds. Maybe you kick an onside kick and steal a possession. Maybe you kick another onside kick and steal another possession. This is something that we did. One time we were playing Kellenberg. At the time, they were blowing teams out. Like, every game, 45-7, 45-7, 45-7. We take this strategy, and we take them legitimately down to the wire, like last play of the game, they score a touchdown, we lose, I think the score was like 35-33, something weird like that. But the bottom line is, we had a specific strategy to give ourselves a fighting chance. If we squared up with these guys, we got no chance, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. They beat everybody, 45, they killed everybody. We gave ourselves a fighting chance to the point that we walk off the field, their fans are waiting in the parking lot, giving us a standing ovation in the parking lot because of what we did. Anyway, this has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the strategy of Chalasi and Derradeta. So throw that part out. They could have worn out certain guys, and they didn't. They eventually picked it up, but it took them a while to do that. Okay, that's strategy number one. Social experiment number one. Social experiment number two is, for whatever reason, Derradeta runs through the line, runs past the line, and slams the weight on the floor. So one of the other rules was you have 30 seconds... once the weight hits the floor, for the other team to readjust the weight and situate it where they want it. Because as anybody knows who's done this, these clamps on these farmers' walks fall off, and it's a nightmare to put them back on. If the plates fall off, you're screwed. So we give them that 30 seconds. So now, Derradeta has given them a little more effort to get this thing back to the start line. And they're very upset. Like, they're like threatening me, they're threatening them. Coach, if they don't stop doing this, we're going to get dirty. So I go over to their team, Derradeta and Chalasi, listen, if you guys keep doing this, they're going to take your weight and they're going to put it on Arthur Kill Road. So Chalasi runs back. He's the next guy to carry the weight for the Golden Company. He very gently puts it down on the end line, like a gentleman. Like a gentleman puts the weight down. Galley picks it up, goes across the field, and he puts the weight off the field into this patch of grass that's soaked, and now they have to go pick it up. So Galley had mentioned before training that his right hand was really, or his right hand was swollen. He didn't know why it was swollen, but it was swollen. It was last week that his hand was swollen. He was worried about his hand. So these guys were being nice, for whatever reason, and letting Galley go with his left hand. First of all, Galley shouldn't have been going at all. They should have been wearing down Wallen and Yuski, or Wallen and Cortese, or Cortese and Yuski, just wearing down two guys. But I don't know why they have Galley in this mix to begin with. The guy has the highest power points of anybody. He doesn't lose. He's a dude. Even with a bad hand, he's still a dude. Anyway, Galley puts it in there. On the lawn, everything gets wet, and then, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Chalasi, he goes, and he carries this thing like 20 yards past the end line, onto the middle of another soccer field. And now they're getting pissed off. This is the dudes are getting pissed off. So I stop the session, I say the clock is not going to start until the weight gets back to the line, and I make a new rule that if you put it more than 2 yards past the end line, you're automatically DQ'd. Now, again, This is just like typical social experiment where you get into a fight with somebody, you punch them, now they come back and they stab you, and then you come back and you shoot them, right? It's that whole Joe Rogan conversation of where these things don't end. For every action, something is going to happen back. So whenever you make a move like this, you have to anticipate what somebody's going to do back to you. So we make that rule. Finally, that is over. But I do believe that there is like a little bit of a give and take here, right? Especially when you only have two guys, Derradeta and Chalasi, the longer you carry that thing, while you may be getting a longer break, and possibly they miss their 30-second mark, the more it's going to fatigue you. And I've learned this from when I've tried to do things like, how many reps can I get of, say, inverted rows or pull-ups in 5 minutes, right? If you try and do some sort of sick little test like that. What I've realized is that while you may try and cheat things in the beginning, it's going to wear you down, and it's much harder to recover from that expended energy from maybe even a little bit more of a break you have. So, for example, let's say I was going to say, how many reps of inverted rows can I get in 3 minutes? If I did 60 reps on my first set, I'm never going to be able to recover from my next set. Maybe if I said, I'll do 60 reps on my first set and then I'm going to rest for a full minute. No, you're better off doing like 30 reps on your full set, first set, rest in 20 seconds. 30 reps, rest 20 seconds. So Shalasi carried that thing far, but I have to believe it wore him down a little bit. So that was social experiment number two. Number two, we had to clear that up, and for every action, there's an equal and opposite, or probably equal and worse reaction. So let's get to point number three. For whatever reason, the dudes were trying to wait the full 30 seconds before they had to pick up that farmer's walk. And I believe they were doing it to try and conserve the energy of their own guys. But they have seven guys. They basically, this is chess. All they got to do is protect one guy. Maybe it's Sarno, maybe it's Karp, maybe it's Carroll. These are guys that have like consistently and totally dominated farmer's walks holds in the past. So maybe, just maybe, you protect one of those guys, and everybody else you have, their goal should be to just wipe out the other team. It's kind of like a pawn in chess, right? You just wipe out the other team. And I don't play chess, I don't even know what's the actual strategy, but bottom line is, wipe out the other team. So they're waiting the full 30 seconds, and now all they're doing is giving Derradita and Shalasi more rest. They're giving them more rest. Again, if it's like if you're playing a team on football that has 12 guys, the last thing you want to do is give those guys rest. You want to wear them out. Wear them out! Give them up. So anyway, eventually, they figure out, what are we doing? Why are we waiting the full 30 seconds? Like, they were legitimately waiting to the full 30-second mark. Why are we waiting the full 30 seconds? They go, and now they start to pick up that weight as fast as they can and bring it back. And that's when I start, even though we were kind of like wearing them down, that's when I started to realize, oh my God, they've picked this up, they've got smarter, and that time, that lack of time, is what really put these other guys to the end. By not, like, that's what pushed them to the edge. They didn't get that time, and they were out. The other weird thing, going back to the social experiment, is that the other team was doing the exact opposite. So they were picking up the weight at like 25 seconds, 24 seconds. At one point, Derradita said, can I just go? You were never going to wear out the other team. You're only wearing out yourself. So the team with less guys should have went the full 30 seconds, and the team with more guys should have picked up that weight as soon as possible and got this thing over with. So either way, the bottom line is the Golden Company loses. Shalasi and Derradita, you did put up a valiant effort. It was only that close because you guys did awesome in the challenge. But had you had a little more strategy, it could have been even more interesting. Now, I believe Shalasi said, look, we were so tired, we had no strategy. But the strategy is not meant to be done while you're doing it. The strategy should have been figured out, you know, I don't know, at a minimum before you started, at a maximum during the week, because this was on the podcast. So I think people knew the challenge. Everybody except Sarno knew what the challenge was. It was on the podcast. Gotta listen to the podcast. I give away free hints almost every week on the podcast. But that is it. Now, the challenge is over. There is no head-to-head because there is not a single guy there's only two guys there, Derradita and Shalasi, but they already have two losses, so there's no one there eligible for head-to-head competition, so no one gets points from the Golden Company, and that's not good because when you don't get points, it pushes you down in the standings, and only the top 12 guys are going to make the playoffs. So right now, Galley still stands at number one with 34 points, and the next closest guy is Pete Biragi with 24. But what that win did for the dudes is it now puts Cortese at 3 and Yuski at 4, and now those guys are in the top 4, and they get a bye week 1. Shalasi, Armato, they got bumped down. Shalasi and Armato got bumped down out of that final 4. So we're getting close to the playoffs here. We're already in May. As Coach Mano said, May is for freaks. We're getting close to the playoffs, and those guys got bumped down. So what is in store for next week? What's in store for next week? So This is kind of inspired by multiple challenges that we've had over the last few weeks, including the one from yesterday. So next week's challenge, I'm going to be calling Pick Your Poison. I think I've used that title before, but I'm going to use it again. Why? Because it's my thing. I don't know. I can't think of a better name. Pick Your Poison. So what does that mean? It means that we're going to have two teams, as we always do. We'd have someone from the one team pick. They're going to pick the person from the other team that they think they can beat in one of two events, and they get to pick which event. It's either going to be a slider, or it's going to be a sled drag and back. That's what it's going to be. So there's going to be a sled with weight on it, or there's going to be a slider, and they're going to compete head-to-head at the same time. And the slider, it's probably going to be about 30 yards, and the sled's going to be about 30 yards and back. But either way, they're both going to go at the same time. And if you lose, you're out. And we're going to pick another guy from the other team, and he's going to pick someone from the other team. So let's just say the first team is the dudes. They go first, and they get to pick a guy who picks someone from the Golden Company. Then the next time we go, it's going to be someone from the Golden Company who's going to pick somebody from the dudes. And we're going to continue this back and forth until there's nobody left. Here's the rules. I may change them, but here's the rules as of right now. Everybody's got to go at least once before somebody goes twice. And you can't pick somebody to go twice in a row. You can't pick somebody to go twice in a row unless there's nobody else to pick. That's it. Those are the rules. So if you pick the guy that you think you can beat, and you pick the toy that you think you can beat him with. And the two options for the toys are going to be the sled and the slider. And that's it. So get your dudes ready. Get your Golden Company ready. You're going to need bodies at this thing. You're going to need bodies. There's a lot of strategy. I'm very curious to see what social experiment is going to be coming next week. So that is it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And once again, June 15th, 1 p.m., I'm going to be at FC Chaos talking about leadership. I'm going to be talking about leadership. That is 10 Brick Court, Staten Island, New York. Please join me. I need some friends in the room. All right, go attack your Monday. Bye. This episode is brought to you by Dr. Rob. Who's Dr. Rob? He's the man who saved me. I was in excruciating pain, and within 5 minutes, he had me up and sprinting again like I was a young buck. Now, if you feel anything like I felt, if you can barely get out of bed in the morning, if you wake up and you feel like you got hit by a truck, if you can hardly put your shoes on, this is a guy you need to go see. Who's Dr. Rob? He's a certified athletic trainer. He's a chiropractor. He worked in the NFL. Again, this is not something that you should take lightly. If you are in pain, do not hesitate. Go out and see him. To get in touch with Dr. Rob, go on Instagram. Go to @doctor, that's D-R, dot Rob, R-O-B, dot Milionica, M-I-N-L-I-N-I-C-A. If you tell him that you are from Advanced Training, you will get a free Normatec boot recovery. Once again, do not hesitate. Go contact him today.